Welcome to the Marshall Pruitt Podcast. Today we are talking about the bizarre scenario of the 1997 Indy 500. 20 years ago, it's my first Indy 500. Was there for this strange phenomenon. Two things. The IRL had its 25-8 policy, one where it guaranteed 25 spots on the grid, provided the driver set qualifying times. For the full-timers, they wanted to make sure that the Indy 500 was an IRL affair first and foremost. The other eight spots, those were open to anybody. I happened to be there with one of those teams vying for one of the eight spots, Thomas Knapp Motorsports and Genoa Racing. Not only was it strange for us having to come in trying to make one of those eight spots, field of 33 then became 35, decision by the IRL, then led by former Goodyear Motorsports boss Leo Mell, who's passed on unfortunately. They decided to add a 34th and 35th car. It's a wide-held belief that this was predetermined, that this was decided while the final day of time trials were going on. So I wanted to speak with those two drivers, the 34th and 35th, Lynn St. James, Johnny Unser. Fortunately, with Leo being gone and other members of the IRL brass, either well known for not wanting to speak or simply unable to, some of those who are part of the organization today, we're not able to get confirmation from them that this was something that was agreed to in advance before poor Scott Harrington went out essentially in the rain the final day, final run of qualifying to try and make the show, then crashed and darn near injured himself permanently. Nonetheless, fascinating to think back to this bizarre kind of early birthing period for the IRL. Our little team made it in, thankfully, with Greg Ray. He worked miracles from behind the wheel. We ran him out of fuel in our first qualifying attempt when I think he would have put the car somewhere in the first two rows. We ended up starting towards the back, did make it in as one of those eight entries, but definitely strange for us to look at the fact that all of a sudden we had two more cars behind us, and then we had the crazy rains that pushed us through Tuesday to try and make three attempts to get in the Indy 500. Strange times, strange times. Thankfully, we have not had anything like it since. All right, you can get every episode of the Marshall Pruitt Podcast on iTunes when it is fresh, and I also post those directly on our Facebook page, the Marshall Pruitt Podcast. That business done, here we go with Lynn St. James and Johnny Unser on the bizarre field of 35 from 1997.
What was that month of May like for you in general? Because I can't imagine, having gone through many before and those being somewhat linear months, I have to imagine this was a strange one for you.
It was very strange because, first of all, I'm with Himmelgarn, so I'm not with Dick. And, you know, Dick was my touchstone, you know, my anchor.
And he's the defending Indy 500 winners, too.
Yeah, that's right.
So, yeah, again, you're not with this, although you're not with Dick Simon, this is a team that was drinking the milk the year before.
Yeah, and so, and I, you know, knew Ron not that well, but so there was, you know, great. Synergy was our sponsor, but I mean, there was great synergy there. And, but I can tell you that when that, I was 16th fastest on the charts. And yet because I wasn't part of the IRL season and all that stuff you just described. So I wasn't part of the 25 that were guaranteed. And so that meant that was not going to put us in the field. Or me in the field. To be honest, I wasn't that upset about Johnny. I mean, I wasn't thinking about Johnny at that point. And so it's probably one of the worst experiences. I mean, obviously getting bumped after, you know, the next 2 years sort of took me past the misery of that.
And I failed to explain the 25-8 rule, which will definitely always go down as one of the stupidest things ever invented. And that was with the IRL trying to protect its crown jewel of the Indy 500, didn't want to have the marauding kart teams come in, which, you know, admittedly, just about every single kart team was a hell of a lot better than any of the IRL teams. Didn't want to have them come in and basically dominate their big race when the split was fully raging. So they protected the first 25 entries for IRL full-timers, leaving essentially eight spots open for those who weren't, whether it was Cart or someone, you know, like a Himmelgarn. And so you being one of many having to fight for those positions. Yeah.
So I kept saying, what are we going to do? I mean, you know, we were just all standing around waiting, you know, because the qualifying was still going on. but it was pretty clear to me that we weren't going to be in the field. And so, and I drove Ron crazy. And Ron kept, you know, he's just a fine guy and so laid back sometimes. It's just unbelievable. And he would just say, Lynn, don't worry about it. He said, they've always qualified. And of course, now I do know it hasn't always been, but he said, they always qualify the fastest 33 cars. So just don't worry about it. And I'd walk away. And then I said, Ron, we have to have a strategy here. I mean, at some point, can I get another car? Yeah. You know, do I need to be out looking, trying to find another car? You know, I was on pins and needles, and he was giving me nothing. In fact, he used to say, just have a piece of chicken. I mean, it was, because he had this fried chicken in the goddamn garage, you know? And I mean, at some point, I'm like, I don't want any chicken, you know? And give me something, you know, tell me something. Give me something that we're going to do. And finally, I couldn't stand it anymore. And of course, Leo Mell at that time was now the head of the IRL. Leo and I, you know, gone way back all those years when he was with Goodyear. And I went into his office. I found his office, and I went into his office. And this was probably like 4:30 or 5. And of course, the qualifying's over at 6. And of course, the media are hovering as well, you know. And I sat in Leo's office for probably 30 minutes. Mm. And he would tell me nothing. But yet, I'm like, Leo, and he'd start talking about anything. And he would talk about the weather. He started talking about Florida. How is it down there? Have you been back down there? You know, because I lived there. Yeah. I mean, I couldn't get him to talk about the race. And I was not leaving until he was going to tell me what he was going to do.
Yeah.
And the media are all hanging out there. So he's loving it that I'm in there, because it's kind of preventing the media from literally barging in. I mean, it was awful. Yeah. Awful. And then, of course, they then decided to expand the field. And I mean, that was based on time, as far as I know. I mean, to be honest, I can't remember now. All I know is that I was in the field, and we expanded it to the 35, and we were the 34th and the 34th and 35th. So, and, you know, I don't know whether Leo knew that's what he was going to do, or I don't know, you know, but I just know that it was absolutely the worst experience I ever had at Indy or in racing.
The IRL took a ton of heat for this. IMS took a ton of heat, and I know that you and Johnny were the lightning rod for, see, this is a garbage series, and, you know, they're letting these two jokers in who shouldn't be there, and then you go and front run from 34th and finish 13th. You know, so, again, if this was truly just jokers who didn't belong, you know, this is someone who qualified, as you'd mentioned, you know, Mario and Nigel in your rearview mirror in 94, we're only talking about 97 here, and the Infiniti motor was definitely not the favored one to have, but if you'd started 34th and finished 30th, I think folks would have something to talk about.
Yeah, they would have had their day.
That might be a little bit out of left field, but I'd love to just get your thoughts in general about what it was like coming into that 97 event with Hemelgarn as someone who knew that, you know, you weren't guaranteed a position.
No, you know, and I knew we had a car fast enough, and I'll tell you, Marshall, the thought process I had in my mind, I was going to be one of the fastest 33, and I can't remember where I actually would have ended up. You know, of course, that was the last weekend. And I thought that if I was fast enough in that top 33 and they decided not to let me in, I was okay with it. You know, I'd done my job. So that's kind of the attitude that I had. And then once that I knew that I had accomplished that, it was just a waiting game. And, you know, all the reporters and everybody was going crazy. Aren't you mad? Aren't you upset? And it's like, you know, I've gone out and I proved what I needed to prove, and I did my job, and that's up to them how they want to sort it out. So that's sort of the attitude that I had, and at the end of the day, it, you know, it worked out in my favor, and it was all good. So yeah.
Now there was some controversy, would be a very polite way of putting it, but there were some very tense hours there, and again, I'm going to be writing about this, so folks will hopefully be able to read about this and also listen to the conversation we're having here, but the way that the IRL structured this 97 event, their first year with their own equipment. You know, the 96, although Ari set the speed record in qualifying and all kinds of great stuff, that was using kart equipment. 97 was the first year with pure, true IRL chassis, engines. It was their own thing, and they wanted to safeguard it, make sure that the kart guys didn't come raid the 500. So they set up that 25 and 8 rule that said, you know, the 25 full-time people committed to the series, you're going to get guaranteed starting spots. Everybody else, you're going to have to vie for these 8 positions. And so the strange thing that happened to you and to Lynn St. James as well is the two of you qualified faster than some of the guaranteed 25, yet because of this rule, you guys were bumped. Now, one of the interesting parts of the narrative about this history started to rain towards the end of qualifying. They went to resume qualifying, sent Scott Harrington out, who damn near killed himself. There are definite questions.
I remember that. This is all bringing back memories. I totally remember that. In fact, I was over in the Turn 2 suites at that time when Foyt sent Harrington out. That was Foyt's deal, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, and sent him out, and he just was like balls to the wall, and he was so loose coming out of one, and then, you know, just... Yeah, that was something else.
So one of the big questions from back then, and I've already spoke with Lynn St. James about this, and she said she spent, you know, a lot of time sitting in Leo Mell, who was the CEO of the IRL back then, sitting in his office trying to get him to give her an answer as to what they were going to do, whether they were going to let the two of you in as the 34th and 35th entries or not. There's definitely been some suggestions throughout the years that, you know, this had already been determined a little bit earlier, and maybe, you know, some folks within the 34th and 35th teams knew about it, but you know, not necessarily everybody, but there was definitely some suggestions that maybe there wasn't a need to send Harrington out because this had already been determined. Had you heard that? Had you know, had any of this been shared with you?
Nobody shared it with me, and I mean, not even an inclination. I had no idea that they were going to do that. No idea at all. I didn't know if they were just going to put us in the 33 and, you know, or add us. I had no idea that it was predetermined, that's for sure. I certainly didn't know about it.
And what do you recall at the time, Johnny, of the when the news came down? Because this had to be a weird, I mean, look, you, not as if this was your first or 15th IndyCar race. I mean, you know, you'd been a part of the IndyCar family for many years, but this must rate as one of the strangest hours or days in your career where, all right, I've gone fast enough. In any normal year, I'd be in the field and, you know, we'd be having dinner right now.
I remember, you know, thinking back on it, just sitting around, I think I was sitting around with my business partner and my wife and with Al Sr. and Al Jr. And I think, no, Al Jr. wasn't there, with Al Sr. And because I think he was around there then. And we were just, you know, like waiting to hear the outcome. I certainly wasn't talking to any officials, or I didn't go talk to Leo or anything like that. I just was you know, very hopeful that we'd get in the show, but, you know, if we didn't, there was going to be a lot of pissed off people. And, I mean, that was my approach anyway. I did my job, we'll wait and see. And so I just pretty much spent that time with family and friends.
20 years ago, you know, I don't know if you want to call this an anniversary. Usually you celebrate things that are really super positive and happy, but 20 years since this bizarre 34th and 35th entry were added to the field. You're obviously one of those, and you know the previous time before that was 79 when they had something other than the field of 33, and you know there's some precedent throughout history where field wasn't always field of 33, but this is just one of those weird things where you go, huh, 34th and 35th 20 years ago, very indicative of this new IRL era though, wasn't it, Johnny, that, you know, new cars, new engines, new administration, but gladly we all persevered and have moved on. But what do you think about this 20 years later?
Well, I mean, you know, on one hand, a lot has changed, but on the other hand, things are still the same. I mean, I think the disappointing thing for me is looking back on, even in those days when IRL was, you know, talked about, I mean, if, you know, we were the bad stepchild or whatever you want to call it.
Yep.
But there were, at least for whatever reason, you know, the new cars, new equipment, at least there was more than 33 cars showing up to make the field. And qualifying was its race of its own, and the race was a second race. And the most disappointing thing for me in looking back 20 years later is that we barely have 33 cars. Mm. That's really disappointing. And it's just a shame because the drivers and the teams don't have to put it on the line. I mean, they're pretty much, as long as they don't screw themselves up, they're pretty much guaranteed. And I think it takes away from the big show that the Indy 500 has always been in. And so I'm surprised that 20 years later that we haven't done better than that. And I think, I was hoping in the last 3 or 4 years we'd be able to improve on that. But it hasn't happened, and it's disappointing. But the racing is great. You know, the cars are good. We're headed back in the right direction as far as I'm concerned with what we're doing with the aero, and, you know, the new car looks pretty good as it's going to come out. I think we're headed in the right direction, but just seems terrible that we can't move any faster.
I'll go one further on the, I think part of this is maybe just time and new racing fans and new, you know, culture coming along. Wrote a story earlier this week about how the field of 33 was set, and there were no expectations for a 34th. And here are the last drivers that are going to fill out the grid. There's our 33, and there are no known 34ths. And a couple people wrote, you know, well, I don't see any problem with that. You know, the days of wanting to, the days of spending all that money to show up and have no guarantee you're going to be in are gone. And nobody wants to do that anymore anyways. And, I mean, look, everyone's entitled to their opinion, but I'm also entitled to say that opinion's really wrong and really dumb, because that's the opposite of competition. That's the opposite reason for why you said, I want to climb into a race car. You didn't climb in because you said, I want to be guaranteed. I want everything just to, I just want this to be easy and simple. You got into a race car because you had a need to prove you were better than the other person. And at Indy, with this field of 33 set, with the days where you'd have 35, 36, 40 cars, who knows how many show up, there was a real feeling of, okay, now this is getting nasty. This is true, you know, bloodthirsty competition to make this field. It's the same thing you see in the NBA playoffs. Look, there are weaker teams and stronger teams. I mean, in reality, the NBA doesn't need to have 3 rounds of playoffs to get to the finals. They could just say, all right, Warriors, you're playing the Cavaliers, off we go. Well, who doesn't love an upset? Who doesn't love the underdog, fighting to a scrap to get in and advance? And you go, well, that's why we go to Indy. That's why more than 33 matters to us, because we love competition. We want to see the best. We want to see surprises. We want to love the underdogs. We want some drama. If you know 33 is all it is.
I agree.
That's maybe our age showing a little bit. And for those who haven't grown up in an era where 35, 40 cars were the norm and, you know, bump day meant something, I can understand why they don't get, why they wouldn't, you know, see the need for it. But I'm with you. Hell, as one of those teams in 97 vying for one of those eight positions, I can tell you, we were sweating our behinds off trying to make the field, but we were working as hard as we could to get there.
Yep, that's how it was. I mean, look at the year Penske didn't make it. I mean, that's what Indy is, and we've lost it, and it's a shame. So I hope it comes back around someday. And, that brings back a lot of memories. I haven't thought of that in a long time, the 1997 and the rules and I remember standing in the garage and kind of waiting after we'd run. It was really something. So obviously it was cool to be granted those spots.
And that was Lynn St. James and Johnny Unser on the wacky circumstances of 1997 and a motor racing organization in its infancy and stumbling heavily. I think we can say without a doubt where the Indy Racing League is today, now known as the Verizon IndyCar Series. They're nothing like one another, completely separate, thankfully. Yeah, we tend not to have this kind of silliness. Hopefully, IndyCar reporters in the future will not have to look back at the current events and write about all the silliness that took place there. All right, well, it's time to go to the track and enjoy some more Indy 500 practice. I'm Marshall Pruitt. This is the Marshall Pruitt Podcast. Thanks for listening.